This is Wade Rathke with the Chief Organizer Report on charter school-like takeovers in the English Academy movement. In an offhanded conversation with the equivalent of a high school civics teacher, I got a quick course in so-called English school reform, which was every bit as scary as the charter school movement in the United States, though different in some interesting ways as well. The bottom line is that over the last 14 years, almost 3,500 schools in England have jumped from the local control of community educational authorities to an autonomous status approved by the central government. Originally, the door was opened by the Labour Party government of Tony Blair, responding to the problem of poor, non-performing schools in 2000, about the same time as President George Bush was moving on No Child Left Behind in 2001. The Conservative government put the program on steroids by cutting funding for what they called specialism, or technical and technology training, leaving schools short by about £250,000 per year. But similar to the way public schools were usurped in New Orleans after Katrina when they ran out of money, but could access federal money from the Bush administration on a trial basis if they became charters, the British government would make up the deficit if these schools, many of them are equivalent of high schools, became academies. All funding for schools in England comes from the central government, so the local funding stream of school-based property taxes, which also empowers governance from locally elected school boards, is not an equivalent factor. These so-called autonomous schools, no longer under local control, with many run by non-profit educational trusts, could get sponsors for the schools to help meet expenses, but this was also true of all the schools in England. Neoliberalism on steroids, too. One important distinction between these academies and charter schools, though, that is worth noting, is that they were not allowed to be selective. In order to be approved to make the switch by the central government, they had to agree to educate everyone in the local service area or school district. My new teacher friend was a member of NUT, the National Union of Teachers, one of three teachers' unions in the country and the most aggressive of the group. All unions and many other community forces have opposed the creation of these academies, though, in fact, her school, where she was teaching, had also made the conversion. Some of the deals were almost bizarre. Given land cost in the UK, her local authority had required a 125-year lease before turning over the school in order to prevent any educational trust from trying in the future to finance themselves by selling off the property to move to cheaper digs. Sounds like the money may come from the Fed, so to speak, but the land was acquired by the locals, giving them some say, even if while saying so long. Some U.S.-based researchers have noted that a big difference between the charter movement and the academy movement has been the top-down testing and standards regime required in the U.S. as opposed to the bottom-up autonomy push in England, which seems a school principal empowerment play to many. Despite my skepticism, early results seem positive. Some of the academies are now being run by cooperatives as well, which others refer to as a good pill for a bad policy. I have to warn that I could be missing some of the subtleties here. There's also a free school movement, which seems an even more blatant attempt to privatize the school systems, and rather than free, these schools seem totally high-end private operations. Nonetheless, this was new to me, and it's worth us trying to get all of our arms around to see if they are going. Where they are going is also where we're being pushed and pulled. This is Wade Rethke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.